Welcome. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Our podcast today brought to you by Blackfoot Communications. We're speaking with Jason Ellsworth, Senate President, on many of the issues that are topping his list of priorities for this 68th Montana legislative session.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
It is Montana Senate President Jason Ellsworth, serves out of Senate District 43 in the Hamilton area. Been a busy first couple of weeks, and I'm calling it, with all due respect, Senator, the Majority Party Hour program. Every other Friday, as best as we can, we'll have a GOP and then maybe a Dem and then a GOP and a Dem, just to get the updates on what's going on at the state legislature. So, Senate President Jason Ellsworth, good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Hanging in. I really appreciate you being here. I know how hard you guys work. How late were you up last night?
Actually, I was at the Capitol till about 8:30 at night, and then about another hour and a half at home.
Yeah.
And then got up at 6 and headed back in. So
getting
the work done.
Well, and you're still on a number of committees, taxation, fish and game, and then serving as the president of the Senate. What's your assessment the first couple of weeks, sir?
I got to say, we're doing really well. Of course, your first week is really organizational and just starting the process. Bills obviously have to go through the Senate, the House, the governor. These hearings, we want to make sure people are being participatory. So we have, 3 days notice of a hearing on a bill. So it's really organizational and just starting all the conversations that I think you and I are going to have in this segment.
Yeah.
So that's where we were at. We're chugging along and starting to get some of these bills moving.
I'm surprised, or maybe I shouldn't be surprised, but there are a number of bills that have been passing through committee with unanimous votes, that have been passing through the committee of the whole, the Senate body, with unanimous votes. Is that typical, or are we seeing just a lot of good ideas coming to the forefront at the start of this session?
So typically what we're dealing with in the beginning of the session is stuff that's been worked on in the interim. A lot of it is also from the governor's Red Tape Relief Act. So it's stuff that we can find consensus across the board that just makes sense. And it's the good work I think everyone has put in from both sides of the party during the interim process. So you're going to see a lot of, 50-0, 49-1, 48-2 kind of, votes for about another week.
And people who have followed the legislature, been on the program, they talk about, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but I think there's a lot of truth to it. The early part of the session, people are still getting along, talking about their votes. The middle of the session gets a little tougher. People start voting against each other's bills, and by the end of the session, it becomes a little more difficult in that regard. But talk about, and I have great appreciation for our citizen legislature, and yesterday kind of went off talking about, well, we have a citizen governorship as well, and we should have a citizen bench too. Your appreciation, sir, for the citizens that serve in this legislature.
Yeah, and I would say it's on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah.
This was part of my messaging that I brought through on the Senate floor on day one, which is proper decorum, working together. We're all here to serve Montanans. So if we keep that in our forefront of everything we do and do it purposefully, Montana wins. So this doesn't have to be, a constant push-pull. There is, 95% of things that just benefit Montana that we need to ultimately get passed and get relief to the citizens.
Some of the things that will come up that will, different legislators will have different ideas on how to provide solutions for some of these problems. Let's start with a big one in housing. What kind of housing solutions? And as we have talked here too, I know a lot of it has to happen at the local level. The state seems to be a little bit reticent to involve themselves there, but there is some encouragement can come from your body, right?
Yeah, most Most definitely. I mean, what we're trying to do here is strike the balance between local control and, you know, the state. And obviously, the more local control you have on something, you know, the bigger of an impact you can have. What we've seen, though, is in the housing, is certain areas, certain districts that maybe are coming down a little heavy-handed. And certainly, I think the legislature will have an opportunity to weigh in on some of those things. I actually have a bill that has to do with deals with family transfers within the state, within a subdivision, and that's a bill actually I'll be in committee on today.
Talk more about that then. A Pearl Housing bill?
Yeah, so it's really interesting, and I didn't find this out until a constituent brought this up to me about 4 years ago. So if you're not within a subdivision, you can do a family transfer. So let's say your children want to stay locally, but, you know, you're trying to help them out, give them a piece of land off your property. You know, you certainly have to follow all the sanitation codes, just like you would with any other piece of land. You would have to follow setbacks, all of those things. You can't do it within, so you can do it if it's has not been subdivided. But if your subdivision does allow for smaller pieces and smaller tracts, we have this rule in there in code that says, guess what? You can't do a family transfer. And it makes no sense. So what this will do is just simply allow that within a subdivision, if your subdivision allows it, and I think that's the key word here, allows it, that you can do that, you know, and do a family transfer within a subdivision. Ultimately, what this will do is obviously bring down the cost of land, which is a considerable factor in building, in keeping families and working families here in Montana. So this is a common no-nonsense bill that just, I think, it's due. It's past due.
Senate Bill 158, as you mentioned, a hearing today. It's Friday the 13th. Does that did that make you a little bit nervous when they scheduled a hearing on Friday the 13th?
Not at all, because my son was born on Friday the 13th, and I love him. So, you know, I look at it as a blessed day.
Hey, man. I'm happy about that, too. And I'm really not overly superstitious, but now and again, somebody will tell me a superstition that I just can't get out of my head. But it's not Friday the 13th, all right? Let's rock on. We are with Senate President Jason Ellsworth again, Senate District 43 out of the Hamilton area. That's Hamilton that goes south from there. Beautiful area. The Bitterroot, man, lived in Missoula for 30 years, had many, many good trips and friends in that area, Jason. And thank you for serving there. It's going to be a little more controversial, going back to housing here, as we talk about an overall approach, and it's, you know, I'm not sure what the state can do about $900,000 median prices in Gallatin County or in Bozeman, Montana, but certainly some of those other solutions I think are fair to put on the table. What do you like?
So some of the things that I've heard is potentially setting up a trust for affordability for people. I think that's on the table, and that's going to be a big topic of conversation this session. Also, you know, housing. So this comes back to families. So as we say workforce housing, we are talking about Montana families. I know the Department of Commerce has some things that they want to propose. I know three or four different legislators that are looking at streamlining the process of how we get some of these subdivisions created, you know, lot sizes that could be allowed. And what's great is we are a citizen-led legislature, so we encourage everybody to come into these, you know, meetings, the committee meetings, get their piece, say their piece, and then, you know, help us through this process. I would say the one thing that the one positive thing that did come out of, if there's anything, and that is that, you know, now Zoom into a meeting. So instead of, you know, having to drive all the way to Helena in the middle of winter, you can register ahead of time and participate in these different committees. So I would encourage all Montanans out there, if there is a topic that we're dealing with, you know, be participatory at some level.
And that's and I really appreciate that. I've been making note of that in how effective I think our state legislature has made it for Montana to participate in this government. I mean, you have almost every hearing, certainly the sessions, they're live, and then people can go back and catch that testimony too. I think it's it's remarkable.
Yeah, I think this just speaks to our values as Montanans, which is allowing everyone to participate and then full transparency. So that's what I love about it.
Let's, when it comes to housing, again, a lot of different solutions will come to the table. There's a lot of different ways to approach it. Same to property taxes, maybe not as many options, but this is going to be a property tax relief. This will be something I'm looking forward to that debate, sir. And you know, what are your thoughts on the governor's proposal? And I've heard as well in some sessions, and you've been out there, in the public and informing people on this as well, about immediate relief and long-term relief when it comes to property taxes. And it's pretty complex.
It is. I think people have the misnomer that, you know, those property taxes that are, you know, paid come to the state coffers. There is a portion, and that's 95 mils, that does come to the state, and a lot of that is just simply flow through. And I believe our numbers are, we actually are over that in giving that back to education. So property tax is typically more of a function of local government. It's the levies that, you know, when you go in to vote on and you say, I want a new school complex that has a swimming pool in it or what have you. Or just, you know, basic needs, basic repairs that, you know, you have to pass by levy. So a lot of those property taxes are, you know, a function of local government, not state government. But I think we have, with the surplus that we are currently looking at, we have an opportunity to lighten that load for citizens and get more involved in their local government. So I believe that we're going to see a proposal within the next, and I would venture to say 10 days, that will help address and alleviate some of those things for every Montanan and every resident of the state of Montana.
Yeah, and that's part of the plan too. When you talk about financial relief for Montana families, there's a lot of ways to do that. We'll talk more with State Senator Jason Ellsworth. He's the Senate President, again, serving this 68th Montana legislature from the front of the Senate, and we'll talk again about taxes, the budget surplus, and more as we come on back. Oh, another thing I want to hit too, red tape relief, and then paying off the state's debts. Those are good ideas in my book. Back with more in a bit.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
We're at 866-627-5483. You can text a message too at 781-627-5483. Tom Schultz alongside here on Voices of Montana, Brian Bennett. In studio, we will have our headline news from the Northern News Network upcoming from that anchor supreme. Senate President Jason Ellsworth on the program here today as we're talking about financial relief for Montana families, the budget surplus, returning that to taxpayers, lots of ideas out there, housing affordability and attainability, another issue that they're focusing on. Skip, stand by in Hamilton, got a question. Senate President Ellsworth, thanks again for being here. Appreciate that. I've also noted, and we had the governor in on Wednesday, appreciation for that too, talking about with this budget surplus, and not just only with the budget surplus, but there are ongoing obligations, surplus or not, that the state has to deal with. And some of those that are pressing issues are what's going on in Deer Lodge and Warm Springs and with our nursing homes.
Yeah, and I would say this is an important thing, that we have an obligation to the citizens of Montana to provide services that, you know, are necessary and required So we have a responsibility to provide those services. Warm Springs is certainly a real problem for us in the state, and we have to find solutions there. So, you know, as we're looking at this surplus, I think we got to say, okay, what can we take care of there? And then also Deer Lodge. You know, we're having issues there with staffing. We saw an entire wing have to, you know, shut down here just recently, a few months ago. We got to make sure that we're having a safe environment for our corrections officers. So we have an obligation to our elderly, to our, you know, people with mental health issues, to, you know, our corrections officers, to make sure we're providing them a safe environment. So there are things that, as a state, unfortunately, we've kind of put off and put off and put off, and now they're to a tipping point. We saw that with the pullback of the federal funding in Warm Springs. So now the state's having to completely take on that burden. And we're going to get that back over time, but we still have a responsibility to fix that now. So, you know, as we're talking about all this surplus, we also have to be responsible in what we need to be doing, you know, to provide those services to Montanans.
And from an administrative standpoint, too, it's not just a matter of you know, allocating X amount of dollars and hoping that, you know, or thinking if we direct it here or direct it there, that's going to solve the problem. When you look at, and I know it was kind of building for a long time, are there things administratively that you look at that maybe the legislature can address?
Absolutely. So, you know, we definitely have to hold people accountable, and we also have to have an action plan that you can action upon. So this is where state government, I think, differs a lot from federal government. You can't just throw money at it and say, okay, the money's going to solve the problem. You have to have a comprehensive plan of what is going to be different, how are you going to manage it ongoing, and this is what's great about our citizen-run legislature is we understand that because we live and breathe this every day. So we have elderly parents, or, I mean, some of us, let's be honest, are very elderly in the Senate. So we're cognizant of the realities. So, yes, it's not just throwing money at it. It's also having a comprehensive plan of where do you allocate that, and then are you really fixing the problem, or are you just throwing money at it? And our solution here in Montana is not to just throw money at it. It's to actually come up with a comprehensive plan.
And it's important to have voices at the table in something like this, even though that may make it a little more complicated, you know, difficult. But first, you know, you talk about Deer Lodge and nursing homes, all these, it's important to have a number of voices at the table. Do you think in these situations, Jason, that's happening?
I definitely see it here. I can say we're kind of back to the norm of seeing the people in the halls. I've talked to our chairs. We're having good public participation. We're here for only 90 short days, and that's every 2 years. So this is the opportunity, like I said earlier, for people to participate. So we need to hear from everybody, citizens, stakeholders, every person from Ecolaca to, you know, Kalispell. And then, of course, down in the Bitterroot Valley, I love to hear the most from. That's my constituency. But, you know, we do want to hear from everybody and how this is affecting their life. And, you know, we certainly don't pretend like we have all the answers. So sometimes this testimony comes across and it gives us solutions to problems that maybe we don't see at the time.
And speaking of the Bitterroot Valley, let's head there now on there, KLYQ, and very much appreciate that. And hello to Steve and everybody there, too. Skip is listening in Hamilton and has a question for Senator Ellsworth. Good morning, Skip.
Good morning, sir, and good morning, Senator Ellsworth. You are my senator, and you know I've heard you speak many times. And I don't know if everybody knew this, but your percentage of margin was huge when you won to be your second term, and by the way, we feel blessed that you are also the president of the Senate. Every time you tell stuff to people, it's laid out so that they can really understand it. and it's simple, and they feel better about the issue because you put the cards on the table. But there's an article that you wrote along with Ken Bogner and Mr. Fitzpatrick that's comprehensive, wide spectrum, and it's in a couple of papers today and well appreciated. But could you give us any kind of a tiny overview, because there's so many issues, about the progress or possibility of a convention of states being addressed and the real facts being laid out, other than all this pressure that's being put on about how, and it's a lie, I believe, that it will affect our Second Amendment rights, which I can't even understand. I have no idea why John Birchers are putting that out there. But there, people are even calling the legislators, and being upset about it, and it's so unnecessary. Would you just try to touch on Convention of States and what's coming up for a bill?
Thank
you for your work, Jason.
Yeah, and I'll certainly address that. Senator McGilvery, who's out of Billings, this is a passion that he has. He has brought Senate Joint Resolution 2, which is a joint resolution from the Senate and the House, simply stating that we support it, and then, you know, with the sidebars in there as well. Certainly, this is the one thing that will even divide our party. There's a lot of misinformation out there. You know, you're talking about the foundation of, you know, our government and our governmental system, our Constitution. So I think, as everybody should be, we need to be careful. We need to understand what we're asking for, what we're looking at, and what do we want to look at and keep it, you know, to a minimum. You know, this is the one thing, and it is in our Constitution, that is allowed that you can have a convention of states, you can present something to the federal government and actually kind of force them to do the responsible thing. And I think this comes down to two specific issues. One, which is budgeting. You know, we are continuing to see this country go into a cataclysm of just huge debt. So that's one of the issues that COS does talk about. And then also term limits. Now, we have term limits here in Montana, and I respect them. So as a senator, I get to serve, you know, two terms, 8 years, and then I'm out. I can go to the House, but, you know, I'm out of the Senate for 8 years, and if I want to come back 8 years later, I can do that. It, you know, it turns these positions back into what they should be, and I think what all of Republicans believe, which is, you know, if you're coming to serve, you come to serve. It shouldn't be a full-time position. It shouldn't be a career. This is something you do out of a labor of love for the people, and something that you want to see effectuate, you know, the citizens. So, you know, we do have a Senate joint resolution coming across. There's going to be a lot of debate on it, and I would encourage everybody to, you know, get your opinions, your thoughts about it, and then also look factually upon what it is. It is certainly a divider amongst Republicans, but, you know, as most things are, that's what makes Republicans strong, is we actually give everything a lot of thought, and we don't think, you know, alike. We don't vote alike. We actually sit there and, you know, challenge what is given to us. So I love that about the Republican Party, so I'm going to encourage everybody to be very participatory in that discussion.
And we have followed that along here as well, the balanced budget, the term limits. I've been opposed to term limits in the past at that level. I believe that should be done by the citizens. That's the power of the poll. But that my mind has completely changed on that over the last couple of years. I've got a couple of minutes and wanted to, and so thank you for that explanation, to talk about what, you know, getting rid of reducing our debt at that state level. What will that do for the state?
So we're looking at about $150 million package, and, you know, it's pretty much all in bonding. That will actually, from my understanding, free up about $34 million ongoing in the biennium. So I think we have a responsibility in this state to be, you know, essentially debt-free. We got to be careful with this word, though, because we also do have ongoing obligations. So, you know, we have a pension system we have to take care of. You know, that's not part of this package, but I think getting our bonding taken care of, that's a responsibility. And, you know, as we, as good citizens, and we do this all the time, when we have extra money in our checkbook, what do? We pay down our debt, and we're responsible. So as citizens do it, government needs to do it, and we have an obligation there, and I know we're going to fulfill that obligation.
State Senator Jason Ellsworth, Senate President, again, Senate District 43 out of Hamilton. I don't have any time for any substantial questions. What are you doing for fun, Jason?
I guess, you know what, just working with both sides of the aisle. So I really enjoy this. I like seeing an end result. And that's the one thing that you can see at state government is I can go home. I can actually see results happening in our community.
State Senator Jason Ellsworth, my apologies. Out of time here. Heartbreak. Thank you, sir.